This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you here on a Tuesday from our brand spanking new Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. 98.5 The Sports Hub FM dial in Boston. Simulcast, as always, across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Maz, welcome to the new set. How you doing?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Big Jim Murray, same to you.
Hi, hello.
Let's just get right to it. No need for any pleasantries. How do you feel about Chris Sale starting the All-Star game tonight, Maz?
Hate it. Hate it. Can I say that I hate it? Like, I'm surprised more people are making a noise about this.
Well, let's make some noise about it.
So, look, I know people are looking forward to seeing Sale pitch in the All-Star game, and that's all well and good. I mean, he deserves it. I'm not telling you any of that. From a talent standpoint, the guy clearly deserves to be in the game. Who would argue that? And from a first half standpoint, he was absolutely terrific. But to me, again, I look at it all as through the prism of or through the eyes of the Red Sox, of where they want to go and what is best for the Red Sox. So first of all, I don't want Chris Sale pitching in the All-Star game at all. To me, I would just as soon have had them come up with some phantom injury and say he couldn't pitch on Tuesday. I don't care if the league was going to fine him or not. Come up with anything you need to come up with. Diverticulitis, inflamed colon.
Who had diverticulitis? Oh, that was David Backus.
I mean, take your pick. Any one of them, hemorrhoids.
Backus had inflamed colons too.
Yeah. Hemorrhoids, air infection, sinus problem, a bloody nose that won't stop. You had to get it cauterized, back spasms.
What was the one that I never heard of that the Sox always had, that Pedro or Manny always had? What was it?
A pharyngitis.
Pharyngitis.
Right, there you go.
Never heard of before or since. But those guys were always coming down with pharyngitis. You ever hear pharyngitis, Murray?
Oh, no. Only when the Red Sox were
Only when Pedro would be a day or two late coming back from the Dominican, and they'd call it pharyngitis, and then Manny would go, hey, man, why am I here? I don't want to work either. I have pharyngitis, too. I've never heard of it since.
Yeah, no. Manny had pain in the ass-itis is what he had. So, again, to me, I just thought that this was a golden opportunity for the Red Sox to jerk the system around and manipulate it. Absolutely. Don't let this guy go out and waste bullets. So look, well, it's only an inning or two, probably an inning, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. I don't want him warming up. I'd rather Chris Sale sit there with his thumb stuck in his ears, watching the game, or better yet, don't even send him there at all. Put him on a plane at the end of the first half, send him home to Florida, see you later. We'll see you when the second half starts. So I didn't want Sale on the mound at all. And then on top of it, he's pitching the third game out of the break on Sunday. I don't like that either. He's pitching Sunday, at least based on the schedule I saw. I would have held him out until the fifth game next Tuesday in Baltimore. Give this guy as big a rest as possible here in the middle of the year. You are going to need him in September and October. Now maybe more than ever, given everything else that's going on with their pitching staff. So I just look at it, and again, I know some people will watch the All-Star game and are into it. It's clearly a fraction of what it was when we were kids, and literally from a rating standpoint and otherwise, it's about 20 to 25% of what it was 40 years ago. Okay, so it's not even close to being the same type of event. And with Interleague and everything else, do we really need to see this guy pitch tonight?
Oh my God, please.
What a waste of time for the Red Sox to have this guy on the mound tonight.
All right, folks, we're starting baseball. We're starting Red Sox at the break. We're talking All-Star break. We're talking All-Star game. These guys weren't here yesterday, Maz and Murray, so we'll get their thoughts on all this stuff. Jimmy Stewart, if you are able, you may release the hounds at 617-779-0985. Maz, if you were giving the Red Sox a grade at the break, what would it be?
Okay, if we're grading them on a 1 to 10, I give them a 9.
Oh, that's huge for you.
If you give them if it's an A plus scale, I give them an A. I don't give them the highest grade. And here's why.
Well, but 9 for you is, are you feeling okay?
Well, they had, they're on a historic pace. They're on a 112 win pace.
So you give them a 9, but you have them being losing in the first round of the playoffs.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, so maybe you're coming down a little bit.
Well, look, they're playing great. But here's what I would tell you, that it's one thing. And you know what, Murray, what's your assessment of them before I babble on?
Like an A, B plus, A.
B plus?
Yeah.
I can't take it seriously because who the hell have they played?
Where's your asterisk?
Oh.
Are you going to have room for it in the new studio?
I don't know. I'm trying to adjust here. I still have to add. I have to make this 67.
Lean it up the back of that monitor?
I think it's 68, Murray. Yeah, 68 wins.
Well, yeah, it's 68 and counting, but the asterisk stays. It stays. Well, I'm supposed to take this Toronto series seriously, too, even though they got by them with all the injuries and the pitching woes they had over the weekend. Please, talk to me at the end of the month when they play the Phillies and the Yankees back-to-back.
So you feel no differently. You've not budged one bit.
No. Why? Because there's buzz around the team. Oh, buzz, buzz. The Red Sox are hot. All these grand slams. Buzz, buzz. Oh, my God. They're doing it. Even though Eduardo Rodriguez got hurt and Rick Porcello played like complete garbage. Oh, buzz, buzz. They're still doing it. Talk to me when they play real teams. Otherwise, the asterisk stays.
Okay, we got to find a more permanent home for that. But either way, Maz, so again, you deduct points. Why?
Okay, so I can't. Normally, I would look at a team like this and you'd say 98 games, they won 68 of them. I mean, they're on a 112 win pace. They are quite literally playing 700 baseball, just a fraction under it. It's insane what they did in the first half. Normally, you would look at that kind of team and say, well, regular season grade, A+. I mean, it's not even debatable. And I can't quite go to that length. And the reason I say that is because the Red Sox have the best record in the league. The teams with the five next best records, Yankees, Houston, Cleveland, Seattle, Oakland. The Red Sox are 12-14 against those teams.
That's creative.
That's truth.
Right. You want creativity or you want facts?
Well, no, but if there were four good teams, you draw the line at four. If there were three, you draw it at three. If there were six, you draw it at six. You drew the line where you get the losing record for the Red Sox. I know what you're doing.
No, I'm telling you that the next best five teams based on the standings.
How about the next six best record? Six best records. What's their record against those teams?
I'll look it up, but I'm willing to bet that.
If you drew it at four, what would it be? I bet that five gave you the worst record for the Red Sox, and so that's why you chose it.
No, you think I'm being manipulative here.
I know, I do.
I'm just giving you the facts.
That's what stats are there for. They're there to be manipulated to suit your agenda.
Or they're there to tell us things that we might not otherwise know, or maybe things that we don't want to hear.
So you think the Red Sox? So you think the Red Sox are worse than those teams?
I think that the Red Sox have yet to prove that they are substantially better than those teams. Yep, that's right. I think that the Red Sox have yet to prove that they're better than the Yankees or that Houston, and that the standings suggest that they are, and they're not. So that's what I'm telling you. And if you go in the American League, the team with the sixth best record is Tampa Bay. Do you really want to include them in the discussion?
Sure, let's do it.
Why? Tampa Bay sucks. It's an average team at best.
Oh, you see? Well, see, you're drawing the line arbitrarily.
No, I'm not. Oakland,
Oakland
and Cleveland are basically 10 games over 500. Those are teams that are all have, you know, I would argue 550 baseball, significantly winning
records.
Does
Tampa have a winning record?
49-47.
So, yes, the answer is yes.
Okay.
They have a winning record.
Yeah.
But you don't include them because it would hurt your agenda.
No, because Tampa's average. The other teams are good.
Mm.
That's why.
I mean, you just go record against winning teams, and that would give us a different number. But you just chose the next five because that gives the Red Sox. I know what you're doing.
No, great. So
I know how you do it.
So let's include the Angels then, too, because they're 49-48. You want to include the Angels?
Winning record.
Yeah. You want to include them because the Red Sox have beaten the crap out of them six in a row.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
The Angels suck.
I know what you've done with
the
that.
The Angels suck.
With that number.
Angels suck. They suck. So I'm telling you, it's great that the Red Sox can beat up on Kansas City, Baltimore, the White Sox, the Tigers, the Rangers, the Blue Jays, the Twins. Terrific. Excellent. You can beat up on the absolute dog food and dog crap of the American League. That's great. You're not getting an A+ for beating up on those teams. Okay. And now, if they had instead of 12-14, if they were 16-10 against those other five teams, I'd feel better about it. But I cannot in good conscience sit here and tell you that they had a perfect first half. And that's what an A+ would be. I can't give you that in good conscience, knowing that the next five best records in the league that they have a losing record against.
You're being firm but fair. I like it.
I don't know any other way, Murray.
Okay, we're starting Red Sox, 617-779-0985. These two guys have not budged one bit. Haven't budged one bit. You're not feeling it at all?
No, there's been some nice moments here in the last week, but that's all they are, nice moments. Do it against the Yankees at the end of the month, and then I'll really believe.
Big Jim wrote something in the email exchange that I brought up yesterday that I'm starting to feel myself. So playing your side of the street here a little bit, Murray says that their pitching numbers are bloated because they have a good offense. The Rodriguez injury is going to catch up with them. Porcello has turned into a pumpkin, and look out for my scrappy A's. They're now your scrappy A's. That's your team?
Yeah, I like the A's.
Okay.
They're scrappy.
All right, so I don't know about the A's.
Plucky.
But I do know about Porcello, the last four starts. I do know about Eddie Rodriguez being hurt. I do know about how well have they really pitched in the last, I don't know, 2 weeks, and yet they're winning every single night, and that plays to just how crappy the league is. They haven't even pitched well, and they win every single night.
That's right. Say it with me. Alpo.
Like, does that...
dog food. The
league,
playing dog
the
food.
League is dog food. Does that catch up to him? Is that fool's gold in any way? And still, I mean, I don't know, because they're going to be playing the same dog food the whole, you know what, the league's down this year. So I don't know if that really catches up to him, but it's a fact. Porcello's backslid and Eddie Rodriguez is hurt. And in another year, you'd say, could you survive it? This year they can, but it's still a thing.
Sure, it's a thing. Yes. And the Eduardo Rodriguez, you know how I feel about David Price. So if this thing had gone as it was going, to me, Eduardo Rodriguez might have gotten the ball in game two of a playoff series. Now, look, I'm not as down on the whole Rodriguez thing as a lot of other people are, because I know that Alex Cora came out and said it's a serious injury. To me, textbook high ankle sprain. Textbook. If he were a football player, that's what we'd be saying.
And that's not good.
No, but he's going to be out a while.
Those take forever to come back from, and even when you come back, you're not the same guy. It takes a while, especially that guy.
Okay, so that part is a concern, because he is. He is soft, if that's what you want to say it, or deliberate, you know, use whatever adjective you want in terms of his recovery. That is alarming. But he should pitch again. He should. He should be back on the mound in September. He should be out for 6 weeks. And then after that, we'll see. And I don't care if it's a landing leg or not. Put a brace on it if you have to in September and get your ass back out there. This should not wipe them out for the season.
Okay, Maz and Murray are back. We're talking baseball. Again, you can join us at 617-779-0985.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big honor. I know this hasn't happened very often in a long time, so... You know, I appreciate it. I'm going to try to have some fun with it, too. So that's why we're all here, too. So we're grip and rip and try to get some wins.
So that's Chris Sale. I said this yesterday, Maz. I think most Red Sox fans would agree with you. They don't want Sale pitching this game. Or you're holding your breath as he's pitching this game. You're not excited about him pitching this game. And so my whole thing about the All-Star game, and any All-Star game is... Why do we play the game when the vast majority of fans don't want to see the best player on their favorite team playing it? What are we doing?
It's a good question.
You don't want Chris Sale anywhere near the mound tonight, and you didn't want JD Martinez anywhere near that home run derby last night. Nowhere near it. So what does it say about a game or a skills competition or a weekend that you don't want your best player on your favorite team participating in it? Why do we still do this?
Well, you know what? I feel that way about all of them. I mean, the football one's different because it's after the season. So at that stage, who gives a rat's ass? It's like, fine, I'm watching PGA golf at that stage, for crying out loud, once you get to the Pro Bowl. And that should tell you something if you have that much of a lack of interest in it. So I don't want any of the players in it. Really, I'd be fine if Mookie Betts didn't play. I mean, he had an oblique thing in the first half. I don't need him out there swinging a bat when he doesn't need it.
Please.
So keep them all away from it.
Absolutely.
If they got rid of the game forever, would not bother me in the least bit. It wouldn't.
That'd
it's
be just great.
It's not what it was. But I do think there's an opportunity there for them with the All-Star game to use it in a way that can actually generate some interest.
Well, okay, so we'll get into that in a little bit. But as it relates to Sale, you know, they've done such a good job of changing his regimen and holding back and, you know, pacing him a different way because he is a guy that fades or has historically faded. So they do it in spring training. They do it in April. They've done it all year. Now they get to an All-Star game that means nothing, and they don't follow through and sort of stay with the program and pull him back and pull him out of the thing. And that is, well, that's not being consistent now, is it?
So you know what it almost makes me wish they had done? Is that I almost wish that they had pitched him on the weekend. The final weekend of the first half.
Right.
So that he can't. Right. So he couldn't pitch in the game at all. And then hold him out until the fifth, even the sixth game of the second half. So he gets a full 10-day block without really getting on a mound. You know, so as soon as it happened, I went, oh, like I really did. I expected them over the weekend to come up with some sort of bogus, phantom, phony fraud injury. Like he's got a hangnail on his toe and he can't push off the mound. I think they should have. I would have paid whatever fine they had to pay to Major League Baseball.
Pharyngitis is the one. I miss pharyngitis. I still no one's ever gotten sick with pharyngitis since Pedro and Manny left. All right, to your phones, as promised. We can start with, I think this is Vince in Boston. Go ahead, Vince. What do you got? Jimmy, are they up?
So from Rosendale?
Okay, so-and-so from Rosendale. Go ahead, you are up.
So from Rosendale, Catholic, you know this. Come on. Listen, you were dead on yesterday with the comparison with the Bruins to the Red Sox. And I think this pitching staff is compared to the mayor of Poop City, Tuukka Rask. I think they're going to get into the playoffs, and they're going to gag and throw up all over themselves like I do when I watch my wife get undressed.
Joe. Sorry, gotcha. Joe and Rosendale. Our call screens are going, you know, a little buggy here. So I didn't intentionally not know who you were. Vince in Boston was what it said on my screen. That's Joe and Rosie, in case anyone wanted to know. Funny guy. I didn't compare the Sox to the Bruins. I said, as it relates to this it factor, which Murray, late last week, we all agreed this Red Sox team has a certain feel about them. They got something going on. We all agreed with that. They do. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. They've got something going on, and they feel like they have that it factor. They do. So let's just give it to them. They have the it factor. What was the last team that we followed that had the it factor?
Bruins.
The Bruins. And didn't we say it all spring? Boy, this team's different. Boy, this team's onto something. Boy, this team has something special. You can just feel it with this team, right? How many people around here predicted them to win the cup? maybe the second dumbest Bruins prediction of the whole year. What was dumber? You all picking them to win the cup or me saying that they're going to finish in last place 2 weeks into the year? Either way, side by each in terms of dumb predictions.
I fell into that trap.
But we fell into it because they had that feeling about them, right? All those great regular season wins. And at the end of the day, even if you have the it factor, which they had, like I'm not saying they didn't have it, but when you run into a team that's better than you or you have fatal flaws and you run up against someone that can expose them, what does that it factor do for you?
It does nothing.
Nothing. It does nothing. So that's my only yeah, but with the Red Sox and this it factor, if they don't find someone to pitch in the eighth inning, I don't know if it's going to matter.
It isn't going to matter. And the sad truth is, more than ever, there's a difference between regular season and postseason in every sport, including baseball. There's a big difference between regular season and postseason. And this Red Sox team, tell me they're not the poster children for it. They've won two straight divisions. They now have the best record in baseball. They're on pace for 112 victories in the best season in club history. And they're 1-6 in the playoffs the last 2 years. So, you know, there's a hurdle there that they are going to have to clear, or they might as well be the Atlanta Braves. Like, really, to me, of the 1990s that didn't win enough. That's what they will be.
Robin Winthrop. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, guys? So, Maz, I understand you don't want to give them an A+, but what does it say for those five teams underneath them that are losing more to these stinky teams?
See, but in a lot of ways, Rob, I'd almost feel better about that because I would say, well, that's just a lack of focus. And in the playoffs, you're not going to have a lack of focus. So here's what I would tell you. The Red Sox went 12-1 to finish the first half of the season. The one game they lost, after the David Price loss, they went 12-1. What means more to you, the 12-1 or the David Price loss?
Well,
the David Price loss.
I know what your answer is. Go ahead. Tell me why it's a David Price
loss. Because it was a more meaningful game. It was the only meaningful game they played in the last 2 weeks where you looked at it and said, that's a game that had a little something on the line. It was the finale of the series against New York. You could win 2 out of 3. Price had been knocked around. It was a good opponent. It was a litmus test kind of game. And they failed miserably. So, yes, they went 12-1 the rest of the way. But again, I say if you ask me what do I weigh more, the 12-1 or the loss to the Yankees, that single loss to the Yankees resonated more with me because of what was at stake. And that's the reason I can't go the full Monty on this team. I can't invest all the way yet.
John is at the Ritz. Aren't you fancy, John? Go ahead. You're up next.
What are we doing?
John?
Hi.
Hi, John. You're on the air. Go ahead. Yes, go.
Okay, am I on?
You're on.
Hi, Felger.
Hi, John. I'm going to let you go because you're just not ready and you're sort of bugging me already. Is this Marcel in Woonsocket, the Moose Man? Go ahead, Marcel.
It is the Moose Man. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon.
You know, Cora's on a great horse, as they described in the journal earlier this week. He's a jockey. But he has not really been tested in some managerial situations. And Saturday happened to be one of them. I really think he did not do well, as the Sox were winning 2-1, and he brings in Kelly after that disastrous thing on Friday night. I said, what the heck is this? So the runner got on, his first runner got on, and here comes a left-hander. And I says, oh, this is where we need a left-handed pitcher out of the pen. And he didn't bring in Pointer. He let him pitch to Albies or whoever it was. So now we got runners on first and second, and it's 2-1, and the Sox don't have the infield in with nobody out. I says, why not? He says, well, they're willing to concede a run. I said, well, Jesus, that's not a good decision. What is that? So they do concede the run. It ends up 2-2. And then
hey, Marcel,
we'll go on quickly to the ninth inning.
Moose Man, I can't go over the whole game. I'm sorry. Do you have questions about Alex Cora when it matters?
Sure. Yes, absolutely. Legitimate. No two ways about it. And I think some of the stuff with the bullpen in the late innings is because they're an arm short out there. So I hold him partially responsible in some situations. And honestly, I don't remember all the particulars on Saturday. But I also think that when you have a clear eighth inning guy, it becomes easier. Your whole bullpen becomes easier. You have a ninth, you have an eighth, and then in the seventh, you know, you can mix and match a little bit. Everybody gets slotted properly. There's less pressure, all of that. But the bottom line is this. When we get to September and October, and it comes time to make that decision, Cora's never done it. So I absolutely look at it and say, what are you going to get there? I don't know.
Are they better at manager than they were last year?
Yes.
Do you have more faith in the right decisions being made than last year?
A little.
Okay. So then you should have more faith in the team than you have had in the past.
I do. And I think the big thing with Cora
I've been a big Cora doubter, but that's just the fact. I feel better about him than I did about the previous guy. So you're better.
I mean, when they have the one loss record that they do, how do you sit here and say the manager's a problem? You know, I don't think he is. And I think the big thing with Cora is, for whatever reason, and maybe it was addition by subtraction with Farrell, the team feels more comfortable and productive without Farrell there. So look at Bogarts. Look at Betts. Like, look at these guys. They just look like different players now. Bogarts looks like what he was supposed to be from the day he got here. So, to me, Farrell was an issue there. He was somehow blocking those guys from reaching their potential. Cora's allowing them to play that way. That's good. But when it comes time to make that call in September, I don't know.
The game management, I don't know how you have any idea.
You don't.
The Red Sox are bashing horrible teams 12-1 every night. Like, how do you know? How do you? I mean, so there's every now and then there's that situation in the eighth inning. But I don't think we're watching closely enough to know. They're 30-something games over 500. They're 12 games clear of a wild card spot or whatever. It's like the games don't really matter. They're playing horrible teams. They're bashing 10 runs a game a lot of nights. Are you really digging into what Alex Cora is doing there in the eighth inning? So it's sort of hard to know.
No, the talent discrepancy is so great right now that Cora almost doesn't have to manage after the sixth inning. I mean, all he has to do is decide, okay, who am I bringing in and when? He doesn't even have to really worry about matchups all that much. Really, who are you worried about facing? Like, when you look at the Blue Jays, Justin Smoke, is that the guy that's really causing you to stay up at night? He's okay. He's a decent player. But is that the guy that, oh, my God, how are we going to get him out? No chance. It changes when you face the real teams. This is part of the reason why you got to, you know, as Billy would say, pump the brakes on the Red Sox a little bit.
Starting Red Sox with Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire studios here in Dorchester. We continue with your thoughts right after the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, guys, Tony, you kind of touched upon it a little bit earlier before the break with the bullpen and not having a true ace inning guy, and I kind of wanted to weigh in on that. When you look at the bullpen, there's six, seven, eight guys. It's kind of Henry, Kelly, and Barnes, and all of them have been, you know, they've been good at some times, but they're all inconsistent, and the same, they all throw power fastball, all hard curve, too. They don't have a mix-up in there. They don't have a lefty specialist that's like a sink-split guy. It's all the same, especially with Kimbrel coming in the back end. They're all power fastball, hard curve. They need a mix-up somewhere, don't you think?
Well, so look, it's a good observation. I mean, Hembree throws more of a slider than a curve, but the other two guys are you know, more fastball, breaking ball. And for that matter, so Thornburg, if you want to throw him on the list too, it's a similar dynamic. In a perfect world, they could use a hard-throwing lefty who can get lefties out. Kelly throws his changeup now more, so he's been better against lefties. You know what? I'm not even going to get that particular about it, righty or lefty.
Right, exactly.
Just give me someone who's got balls and can throw strikes under pressure.
Exactly right. Exactly. Mike's in Connecticut. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. My question was just, what do you guys think the likeliness, chances are of JD Martinez returning after a second year?
Okay, so this happened yesterday, too. You know, the talk about JD Martinez and long-term here with the Red Sox. He's got an opt-out after next year, right? So he's got 2 years here, and then he can choose to move on. He was asked about it yesterday, and Scott Boras is standing right behind him. Did you see this shot?
No, but I heard about
it. Yeah, so Scott Boras is standing right there, and someone starts to ask the question, JD, it's been talked about your option, and immediately JD goes, well, talk to this guy right here. And there's Boras, you know, smirking right over his shoulder. You want to go over there and give him a slap with a wet sausage right there. Just standing right there, you know?
No, because that's exactly what you want to do at the All-Star game is talk to someone's agent.
Exactly. Both Sale and JD Martinez up after next year, right?
Correct.
Okay, so we're talking about a $30 million pitcher and at least a $30 million slugger.
Correct.
In two plus, you've got Mookie Betts.
Correct.
Who's going to be $40 million a year. Never mind Kimbrel in between.
And Bogarts is up next year, too.
Okay, so he's, I don't know.
A little lesser.
Yep, much lesser. But, however, who do you prioritize? And, you know, I know you have a thought on Sale there.
I mean, yeah. So to me, Mookie is the guy you prioritize. You start there. But the Nick Cafardo had a column in the Globe today because he raises a good point. Sale has one more year to go, which means if you're going to sign Sale, you got to negotiate with him after this year. You got to get it done now. So why not start now is the point. At the All-Star break of the year before is typically a time you might visit a contract discussion. It's what they did with Lester. We all know how that one went. But nonetheless, so to me with Sale now, I don't know. This gets tricky. I saw the column in, Cafardo's column today in the Globe, and I said, do we really want to go down that road again? I mean, the last time you signed a 31-year-old pitcher to a $30 million contract, he sucked.
Well, and the last time you didn't do that, he went on to win a World Series, and you...
Your own guy.
Yeah, and I'm talking about John Lester. You were talking about David Price. I'm talking about John Lester.
Right, so it is. Now, look, this guy has proven he can pitch in this market, I think. I'd like to see how he does in October. So, if
do you still really have a question about that, or do you think that was a part of sample?
No, I have a question about it, but it's not because of balls. I think Sale has balls. It's not my concern with him. My concern is whether he's going to have anything left in the tank because he's made out of toothpicks and popsicle sticks, for crying out loud. Some Elmer's glue and maybe a couple of elastics. Like that's really what it feels to me how he's built. And I don't even mean it from a pure, like, he doesn't break down per se, but he loses velocity. Right, he doesn't operate with the same efficiency or potency as he did early in the year. And again, it's not a one-year thing. It happened to him with the White Sox. So we got to find out whether or not he actually has anything left in the tank at the end of the year. So I want to see that. I wouldn't sign him now. If he has a good October, then I would visit it. The question then becomes how many years and how much money? And really more, how many years?
Would you sign JD Martinez now?
No.
No! No!
The only guy I would sign right now is Mookie Betts.
Exactly. And I would sign Sale. I would. JD Martinez, you got him right where you want him. He's on sort of a bridge deal. He's pissed off about it. He's still proving himself. He thinks that he got screwed the last time around, so he's going to show everybody this time around. And so, perfect. And oh, he is still, by the way, someone who got cut 4 years ago and is not a proven end-to-end major league superstar like he's, you know, his last calendar year has been unbelievable. But again, he was released just 3-4 years ago. And how old is he? Is he 30?
He's closing in, I think, yeah. Or he's right around there. I'll double check. So, I mean, thought he was like 29.
To me, JD Martinez, you got him right where you want him. He's still proving it. Chris Sale, I lock in. Mookie Betts, I lock in. Here's Dennis in Florida. What do you got for us, Dennis?
Hey, about the pitching, we just don't have enough pitching starters, that is, to get us past the Yankees or the Astros. I mean, we just can't get past them. So no matter what we do, how many games we win, you know, it's just evident we're not going to be there at the end.
This is Marshall Hook's point from yesterday that why should I feel any differently about this Red Sox team when this pitching is exactly the same as it was last year?
It's a good point, which is why Price is the most important guy on the team. And so I how do you answer that one other than those guys have to go out and pitch better, starting with Sale? But nonetheless, let's give him the benefit of the doubt on that one, because we all think that that last year it was probably aberrational as it pertains to Sale. So let's stick with Price and Porcello and Eduardo Rodriguez. And I'll tell you what, even give let's assume Eduardo Rodriguez is healthy. How do you know what you're going to get from any of those guys? And really, to me, they're no different. And this is, you know, where it comes back to Price. Price has got to distinguish himself there. Price has the highest upside in that group, or maybe Rodriguez, right? Porcello, to me, is what he is. Like, he should get the ball in game three or game four, tops.
But it's not a question who has the most upside after Sale. It's Price. Who has the most talent on that staff? It's Price.
Sale. I think Eduardo Rodriguez is getting close.
Oh, come on.
I do. I mean, you know, and how do you eliminate? Now, I don't know if Eduardo Rodriguez has the balls, you know, the makeup, the poise.
Well, I mean, Price clearly doesn't, but he has the talent.
Maybe.
Who has more talent, Price or Eddie Rodriguez? Are you really asking that?
I think it's close now.
Oh, come on. It's not.
Eduardo Rodriguez throws harder.
It's Price.
Eduardo Rodriguez has a killer changeup. He throws 96 miles an hour sometimes. Price, 93. And he hasn't pitched with any attitude.
Yeah, I know that. How come Eddie Rodriguez can only go five or six innings at a crack?
How come Price can't win against good teams?
Well, so we know about Price.
So I'm just telling, but this is why I say to you, they are comparable. So if they're the same, I'll stick Price in the bullpen and pitch Eddie Rodriguez. I'd rather do it that way. I think I'm a better team if I do it that way. I doubt they will, because I don't know if they have the balls to put a $31 million pitcher in the bullpen without him recovering from an injury again. But to me, that makes him a better team.
Can't do it. Won't do it. Shouldn't do it.
Should do it.
Who's their number two starter then? Eddie Rodriguez? You feel good with that?
Sure. What's the difference?
One's more talented than the other.
Yeah, but Rodriguez likely has more balls. He's not going to crap his pants in the biggest moment.
Eddie Rodriguez and balls are not two things I'd put in the same sentence. Now, again, what changes his argument is that he's going against the great ballless wonder of David Price. I mean, there is, that is like
a couple of Ken dolls.
Guinness Book of World Records for lack of testicles. And so anyone looks like they got balls next to David Price. But don't tell me that Eddie Rodriguez is suddenly your guy.
Okay, but again, so just, and I'm just giving you numbers from this year because I know how much you think statistics are manipulative or manipulatable. Porcello, ERA, 4.13. Price, 4.42. Rodriguez, 3.44. And I don't think Rodriguez is that good. What's the difference? You're going to get the same thing out of all three of those guys. You're going to get six innings and three or four runs if you're lucky. That's what you're going to get. So you know what? Stick Price in the bullpen. Start the other two. I'm telling you, that's the way to go.
Okay, I asked the question again, coming up next. If you don't want your best player on your favorite team playing in the game, why do we play the game? If you don't want your best slugger on your favorite team participating in a skills competition, why do they do it? We continue that conversation with your calls. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
Janta.
Junta.
Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One home run to become the home run derby champion in 18.
There it is!
Center field, and Bryce Harper has thrown his bat in the air and won the 2018 home run derby, and he loves it.
It's a home run derby last night. Email of the day comes from Jim in Melrose. He says, this all-star nonsense can burn in hell. I didn't watch a second last night. I won't watch tonight. Here's what makes me happy, though. People being fake outraged about big names not being in the home run derby. You children, if you need to watch it, all caps, because God forbid you actually do something productive with your lives for once, like open a GD book, then bet on it, you degenerates. Otherwise, your cries fall on deaf ears. No superstar for a contending team should take part in this thing, as they tend to go in the tank after swinging out of their ass for 2 hours. Just look at what happened to Aaron Judge last year. XOXO, love the show. Jim and Melrose.
Hi, guys.
How do you feel about that, Big Jim?
Yeah, it's exactly how I feel about it. Aaron Judge is the latest example of why big-name stars and contending teams should absolutely stay the hell away from this thing. I don't know why you would want to participate in the home run derby and throw your swing and yourself off for the remainder of the season and when you're in a pennant race. It makes absolutely no sense.
Again, why do we have games and do skill competitions when the best players on your favorite team, you want nothing to do with it?
Couldn't agree more.
I mean, it's just what more do you need to know than that? I, as a Brewer fan, I couldn't stand the fact that my guy, and why am I even blanking on the name now, Jesus Aguilar, was in it for the NL. Like, you're a flash in the pan to begin with, buddy. Like, you came out of nowhere. Those were a fraudulent 23 home runs. Now you're totally cooked. Because you think, what, now you're Hank Aaron because you were in the home run derby? You're toast. We're toast.
Yeah, mistake. Look, I told you. To me, the whole All-Star thing died a long time ago. So I'm not a big proponent of the way they're doing it now. That said, Bryce Harper was the only interesting thing in that whole event last night. And Murray, when you say you child, yep, that's who it's for. It's for the kids. It's exactly who it's for. The kids love it. My kids love it. They sit on the sofa. They love everyone. They want to see whether he can hit one, you know, into Baltimore, for crying out loud. That's what they want to see. And I would tell you that Harper, I don't know if I'm a Bryce Harper fan or not. Sometimes I am. Sometimes I'm not. But I'll tell you, with regard to the persona, he's important in the game. Like the way he got that crowd engaged last night, that to me, that was a superstar.
Well, he's polarizing.
Totally.
Because he's such an asshat.
He really is.
And you see his old man? Like, then you put his old man. So it took me a while to figure it out. Who was throwing him BP was his old man. And this is like Popeye. They talk about a guy that.
Bluto.
Excuse me. still works out at an advanced age. Like, this guy. Like, put the two of them together. It's like, look at these donkeys.
If the guy had a mask on, I would have sworn Sandy Leone was so bad he practiced to Bryce Harper.
Like, what? And I meant to look it up and I forgot. What does his dad do? What's his dad's background? Do you know?
No idea.
Did he ever play anything?
No, he's Bryce Harper's father. That's what his job is.
Holy smokes. The gun show, though. And you see how he was so, I'm going to admit, after bashing it all day yesterday, and I'm going to bash it right now.
I did flip over and watch it for a little bit. I'm sorry I did.
Murray, there's only so much Live with Jules Holland that I can watch. And I can't sit down and start watching TV shows. I'm just, I try. I'm just not wired to do it.
Open a book. Like I said, find something else to do.
I read my face off. I do. I read. I always have a book going. I'm not going to read at 8 o'clock at night. I'm not. I'm going to do it before I go to bed or at the beach or in the morning. Like, I don't know.
No, I get it. So
7, 8 o'clock. I'm not that hardcore of a reader where I'm going to read my book at that time.
That's the time for real sports. I get it. It's the All-Star break. Nothing's on, but I'm not wasting my time with this thing. The hell out of here.
So I did tune over. And Harper, right, Maz, there's a polarizing quality to him.
Oh, there's a magnetism to him. There is. Yeah. And again, sometimes it's because you want to hate him.
Oh, my God.
In fact, most of the time it's because you want to hate him. I mean, with the hairband and the American flag bat, the whole nine yards.
You dinkus.
Oh, he is. He's a total, absolute freaking power tool. The guy is a absolute cordless power tool. That's what he is. But he does evoke a response from you one way or the other. Either, and he's a phenomenal talent in a lot of ways. Trout's a better player, but this guy has unbelievable ability. On the cover of SI at 16, like all of it, he's a prodigy. And so there's a story with him and a magnetism to him that sucks people in. I just wish more guys in the game had the personality that Harper does. He's an a-hole, but at least he has a personality.
Exactly. No question. This is why I sort of said about Mookie Betts yesterday that he maybe starting to move the needle a little bit more, but there's still not much there off the field. And I said yesterday that, and I never want guys complaining about their money or their contract because that's bad form, right? So I'm a hypocrite to say this. But if Mookie spoke the way he's been negotiating against the team, wouldn't you know a little bit more about him and he'd have a little more edge to him?
Yep.
Because he's clearly taking the team to the wall at every juncture. He's clearly not into the way that they've handled him contractually. He's clearly looking for every dime, clearly thinks he's underpaid. I mean, because he hasn't signed a damn thing with the Red Sox yet, and they've been trying for 2 or 3 years. They took him to arbitration, for crying out loud. Think of that. And as I mentioned, you know, he asked for 10.5. They offered 7.5, and they wouldn't give it to him. The arbiter had to give it to him. I think Mookie Betts really feels about that. I mean, I think we sort of know, but he won't talk about it. If he did, wouldn't you know sort of more about him? Now, his negatives would go up. You'd have people complaining about him, but he'd be more of a, maybe more of a real person or a real athlete that we're used to following.
I'll tell you what, I'll even take the passion he showed on the Grand Slam. Just show me a little bit of that when you open your mouth.
All right, so anyway, Maz, your thought on All-Star Week and All-Star Weekend and this sort of thing. Why do we have these things if we don't want our favorite players on our favorite teams even doing it?
So I looked this up this morning, and again, we've done this in the past. I'll just mention this quickly. 10 years ago, the numbers were almost double what they are now in terms of ratings.
So last night in Boston did a 4.5, which is still too high. I mean, what's the matter with you people? But then in the same breath, I flipped over. I flipped over because I'm so chronic. I can't possibly just put on Netflix and try and watch a show, Murray. I can't do that. So I got it like I'm just such a sporty little dork that I couldn't help myself. Again, my fallback is Later with Jules Holland, right? You ever watch that on the Palladia MTV Live? Give it a crack. It's great live music.
All right.
Okay? Or Austin City Limits. Like, that's sort of my fallback when I'm not watching sports. But there's only so much of that I can watch. And so I did. I flipped over. God, I flipped over. So I'm part of that 4.5. That's still too high of a number, but I was glad it wasn't like a 10. I was worried it was going to be like a 10. I'm like, then I'd say like, oh, like, what are we really doing here? So that number was high, but at least it's not bigger than a big Bruins game or big Celtics game or a, you know, regular season Red Sox game, or at least it's still lower than those things. But anyway, I'm sorry. What were you saying?
Well, no, and I'm telling you that the game last year was, the last 2 years, the All-Star game has been rated lower than it's ever been before. I mean, it's still sinking. It was 5.4 and 5.5 the last 2 years. You know, again, just to give you the context of it, when we were kids growing up, you go back to the 70s, the numbers were in the mid-20s. So they were doing 27, 25, and that's pre-cable TV.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of variables there. But the point is, nobody watches it anymore, relatively speaking. Why don't they use the All-Star game as a laboratory? So baseball would tell us all these rule changes are coming. Well, we're going to put it in the Arizona Fall League. We put it in the minor leagues. Your average fan doesn't go to Arizona Fall League games.
Like, for example?
The pitch clock. Put the pitch clock in the All-Star game. Let's see how it works. Let's let everybody watch it on national TV and actually see how it works. Every other inning in the game, put a runner on second base to start the inning. Let's see what it looks like. Does it? Then you have a four-inning sample from the All-Star game. The second, the fourth, the sixth, and the eighth. And then you go into extra innings, do it every extra inning. So we can see what does it do to run production when we have a little bit of a bigger sample. Or, you know what? You want to get really radical? Let's do your idea. 3 balls and 2 strikes and you're out.
3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs, 6 innings.
I've got an even better one for you that I've always wondered about.
That's the future of baseball, folks. 6 innings, 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs.
Just shorten the at-bats, right? So, you know, 4 balls now for a walk, 3 strikes for a strikeout. Why? Why is it 4-3? Why isn't it 3-3? How about just do that 1 year and let's see what happens? Make it 3-3. 3 balls, you walk.
Aren't you going to have more walks?
No, because I think pitchers waste pitches, and I also think that at that level, part of it is you throw what you need to throw when you have to throw it. So you stretch out the count because you know you got more latitude. You get up 0-2, you get up 1-2, what do you do? Waste a pitch.
I like it.
So you know what? Let's start slow. There's a million things you could do.
Didn't it used to be 5 balls and 4 strikes like 100 years ago?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I think it was.
So the whole idea that the pitcher gets an extra chance, why? Screw him. Put it over the plate, you donkey. Let's go. So to me, this is what the All-Star game, you want to get people to watch? We're going to try something new in the game this year. We're going to put the pitch clock in so you can see it. And then as a fan, tell us.
Players are going to love that.
Screw them. It's not about them. This is another thing that I sort of look at and say, it's not about you, you jackasses. It's about the product and the selling the product to the fan base. You're losing viewers. Nobody watches the All-Star game anymore. You have 20% of the audience you had 40 years ago. What don't you get? And you tried the whole stupidity of attaching home field advantage in the World Series to it. That doesn't work either. So I'll tell you what. Come up with whatever cockamamie idea you want that'll improve the game. Let's try it in the All-Star game and see if it works, where everybody can watch it.
I am all for cockamamie ideas when it comes to baseball. They need some. They need some cockamamie ideas, and there's no question about it. Your thoughts on all of this. 90 seconds, no commercials, and update, then right to you.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station.